Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Shelf Drilling Q3 2019 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I also must advise you this conference is being recorded today, 13th of November, 2019. I now hand you over to your first speaker, David Mullen.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone to Shelf Drilling quarter three 2019 earnings call. Joining me on the call today is Greg O'Brien, the Shelf Drilling CFO. Earlier this morning, we published the Shelf Drilling Limited financial statements for quarter three 2019, as well as our latest fleet status report on the investor relations page of our company website. In addition to our press release and the financial statements, we also published a short presentation with highlights from the third quarter and guidance for the fourth quarter. A recording of this call will be made available on our website within the next few days. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that our call will contain forward-looking statements. Except for statements of historical facts, all statements that address our outlook for 2019 and beyond, activities, events, or developments that we expect, estimate, project, believe, or anticipate may or will occur in the future are forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements involve substantial risks and uncertainties that could significantly affect expected results. Actual future results could differ materially from those described in such statements. Also note that we may use non-GAAP financial measures in our call today. If we do, you will find a supplemental disclosure for these measures and an associated reconciliation in our financial reports. I will provide an overview of the company's performance for quarter three 2019 and share my latest views on the jack-up market. I will then hand over to Greg to walk through the financials before we open up the floor for question and answers. As always, I would like to start the commentary on our earnings call with our safety performance. We had an outstanding safety performance year to date 2019. The total recordable incident rate as of 30th of September 2019 is 0.2, the best level we have achieved over an extended period of time. In 2019, we had a five-month period of zero recordable incident rates between April and August across our entire fleet. Additionally, we achieved a milestone of no loss of containment so far this year. Safety performance will always be a key consideration amongst our customers in securing contracting opportunities, and we are pleased to see that our focus on rigorous planning for all activities on our rigs is leading to further improvement in what was already an industry-leading safety performance. The fleet-wide uptime performance for quarter three was 99.4%. The year-to-date uptime performance is 99.3%. This is an outstanding uptime performance over an extended period of time. Our rigs continue to deliver outstanding operations against the customer key performance indicators. Our two new builds, the Shelf Drilling Chaophraya, Shelf Drilling Krathong, lead the way in terms of efficient drilling performance, as they both continue to set new standards and break new records for Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand. The performance of the two rigs was a key factor, key contributing factor to the recent contract award on the Shelf Drilling Scepter. Saudi Aramco monitors and benchmarks a number of key performance indicators, including safety, drilling efficiency, uptime performance, and national content. Our rigs have consistently performed in the top-tier category, and as a consequence, we recently received a short-term extension whilst we continue to negotiate a longer-term deal for the four rigs rolling off contract. Safety and operating performance will be a key differentiator in securing contracts and optimizing financial performance. Quarter two and quarter three has been an intense period for out-of-service projects, with seven rigs expected to return to or commence operations following project completion before year-end. The Highland 5 completed the planned shipyard project late August and is back to service under its three-year contract with Saudi Aramco. The Key Singapore commenced a new contract with Eni Tunisia in mid-September. There was a delay to the startup due to adverse weather during the rig move. Shelf Drilling Scepter is concluding contract preparation for its multi-year contract with Chevron in the Gulf of Thailand. The estimated start date for the rig is early December. The Shelf Drilling Achiever's contract preparation and upgrade project is also near completion. The rig is expected to commence contract with Saudi Aramco in December. The Shelf Drilling Journey's rig readiness is ongoing as we market the rig for 2020 opportunities. With several new awards in India, we have four rigs on various stages of contract preparation. The FG McClintock, the CE Thornton, and the Parameswara are scheduled to re-enter service during quarter four 2019, while the Trident II is expected to begin its contract in March 2020. In Nigeria, Shelf Drilling Resourceful had a short out-of-service period whilst renewing its temporary importation permit, and the Trident 14 had a similar break whilst doing some equipment recertification. There was also a longer-than-expected idle time on the Adriatic I and Baltic before commencing their respective new contracts with Conoil and Total in mid-October. Consequently, we had an average of 2.5 rigs in operation during quarter three. All five rigs in the region are now back in service as of mid-October 2019. Total revenue for the quarter decreased $5 million on a sequential basis from $137.1 million in quarter two 2019 to $132 million in quarter three 2019. The drop in revenue quarter over quarter was primarily due to lower activity in Nigeria. This was partially offset by the startup of three new contracts in India, UAE, and Tunisia, as well as higher uptime and revenue efficiency across the fleet. Adjusted EBITDA for quarter three 2019 was $32 million compared to $40.4 million in quarter two 2019, down due to primarily lower revenue. We expect our revenue and EBITDA numbers to significantly improve beginning in quarter four 2019. As a total of seven new rig contracts are scheduled to commence during the period. Greg will provide you more details on both quarter three and quarter four 2019. Oil prices trended lower in quarter three on concerns of slowing demand growth and easing tensions in the Gulf region. Despite these recent price fluctuations, we continue to see a strong recovery in the jack-up market. Global number of contracted jack-up rigs has continued to increase, growing by 23% from a low of 311 rigs in early 2017 to 383 rigs in November 2019. All key regions have experienced reduced availability of rigs in increasingly active tendering environments. The Middle East and China contracted rig counts are at all-time highs, with further awards expected in the Middle East towards the end of the year and early next year. We are also seeing an increase in Mexico since January 2019 from 21 to 29 contracted units, with additional awards expected by Pemex and other customers in quarter four. The stranded new build overhang is becoming less of an issue as more and more of the stranded rigs are being absorbed into the market. We have added significantly to our backlog in 2019. Year to date, we have added 34 rig years, reflecting a unique operating platform and a much improved jack-up market. Since the beginning of quarter three, we have executed the following contracts in addition to the ones on our last call in August. In the Middle East, we secured four-month extension for each of the Highland 2, Highland 4, Main Pass 1, and Main Pass 4 with Saudi Aramco. We also executed a three-year extension on the Highland 7 with ADNOC Drilling, in addition to the six-month extension announced previously. In Egypt, we executed a 165-day extension on rig 141 with Gempetco until quarter two 2020. We secured a three-year Award for the Trident II with ONGC, expected to commence in March 2020. We also executed a two-well contract for the Parameswara with HOEC. The contract includes two option wells. Our fleet in India is now fully contracted. In West Africa, we have secured one firm well plus one option well contract for the Baltic with Total in Nigeria. As of September 30th, our contracted backlog was $977 million, with 29 contracted jack-ups. Subsequently, we have executed further contracts totaling $151 million, and the number of jack-ups under contract has increased to 31 jack-ups, representing a 91% marketed utilization across our 34 active rigs. In all, we have added more than $630 million of backlog since the beginning of 2019, for an implied book-to-bill ratio of approximately 1.5 times. We continue to see a very solid pipeline of near-term marketing opportunities and expect utilization and day rates to further tighten in the coming months. With a differentiated operating track record and our strong customer relationships, we believe we are very well positioned as the jack-up market continues to recover. I will now hand over to Greg, who will walk you through the financials.
Thanks, David. Revenue for Q3 was $132 million, which included $125 million of day rate revenue, $4 million of mobilization and bonus revenue, and $3 million of recharges and other revenue. Total revenue fell by $5 million, or 4%, relative to Q2 2019, primarily due to lower effective utilization resulting from the completion of three contracts during Q2 and Q3 in Nigeria and India, and planned out-of-service time for two other rigs in Nigeria and one rig in Saudi Arabia. In Nigeria, revenue fell by $9 million sequentially, mainly due to the contract completions on the Adriatic I and Baltic in mid-Q2 and early Q3 2019, respectively. The out-of-service time in Q3 primarily related to the completion of the three-month shipyard project in Saudi for the Highland 5, which commenced in June, and the planned shutdown on the Trident 14 in Nigeria for equipment recertification. This was partly offset by the full quarter of operations for the Compact Driller in UAE and Ron Tappmeyer in India, which both started in Q2 2019, the new contract, which started in September for the Key Singapore in Tunisia, as well as higher uptime and revenue efficiency across the fleet. Average day rate decreased from $66,200 per day in Q2 to $64,700 in Q3. Effective utilization, which is our measure of blended revenue efficiency, was 65% in Q3, down from 66% in Q2. Operating and maintenance expenses of $91.4 million in Q3 were largely comparable with Q2 2019. The increase in India and Nigeria for five rigs preparing for new contracts scheduled to commence in Q4, and incremental expenses associated with the short out-of-service periods on two contracted rigs in Nigeria were mostly offset by cost reductions across the rest of the fleet. G&A expenses were $12.8 million in Q3 2019, up from $12 million in Q2, primarily due to higher non-cash share-based compensation expense, as well as increased support costs associated with the integration and deployment of our recently acquired new build rigs. Adjusted EBITDA was $32 million for the period, representing a margin of 24%, compared to $40 million and a margin of 29% in the previous quarter. We had a total of $4 million of adjustments in Q3, primarily for expenses associated with the reactivation and contract prep of the Shelf Drilling Scepter, which will be completed in the coming weeks. Income tax expense of $3.2 million in Q3 was in line with Q2. The Q3 tax expense represented 2.4% of revenue for the period, slightly lower than our typical range of 3%-3.5% of revenue. Net interest expense was $20 million for the quarter, in line with Q2. Non-cash depreciation and amortization expenses totaled $40 million in Q3, substantially comparable with Q2, and the net loss for the quarter was $36 million. Capital expenditures and deferred costs totaled $64 million in Q3 compared to $163 million in Q2. This included $33 million in Q3 relating to the reactivation and operations readiness projects on our three recently acquired rigs, the Shelf Drilling Scepter, Achiever, and Journey. Capital spending across the rest of the business increased to $31 million in Q3, up from $26 million in Q2, mainly due to a higher level of costs associated with the project for the Highland 5 in Saudi and an increase in contract preparation activities in India. The contract prep project for the Key Singapore was also completed in Q3 2019. Net debt increased by $46 million in Q3 to $863 million as of September 30th, 2019. Our cash balance was $46 million, down from $71 million at the end of Q2, and we borrowed $20 million under our revolving credit facility during the third quarter. The cash flow deficit during the quarter was in line with our expectations and driven by several factors. First, we made cash payments for interest of $38 million compared to $1 million in Q2. Our next biannual interest payment on our 2025 notes will be made in February 2020. Second, we incurred total costs of $37 million associated with our ongoing efforts to deploy the three recently acquired premium jackups. These projects will be substantially complete by the end of 2019. We also had a higher than normal level of maintenance capital spending on the back of the recent contract awards earlier in 2019. Finally, we experienced a trough in run rate revenue and EBITDA in Q2 and Q3 2019, particularly in India and Nigeria, ahead of an uplift in utilization in those two countries in the coming quarters. As David mentioned, we built strong momentum on the contracting front in 2019 that provides us confidence that operating results will improve in the fourth quarter. On slide 16 of our presentation published this morning, we included guidance on certain financial metrics for Q4 2019. Revenue is expected to increase by approximately 20% sequentially versus Q3, as seven contracts are scheduled to start in Q4, three during the month of October and four in December. The guided revenue range for Q4 is $156 to $161 million compared to $132 million in Q3. With respect to capital spending, we expect a total of $45 to $55 million in Q4. This includes $27 to $32 million associated with our rig acquisition projects. The Scepter and Achiever will commence multi-year contracts in December, and capital requirements should be minimal for several years thereafter on those two rigs. The operational readiness activity on the Journey will likely continue into the beginning of next year as we continue to market this rig for contract opportunities scheduled for the first half of 2020, but the major investments associated with these three rigs will be substantially completed by year-end 2019. Maintenance capital spending guidance for Q4 is $18 to $23 million, compared to an average for the last two quarters of $28 million. This would bring total sustaining CapEx for calendar year 2019 to approximately $100 million. The lower run rate in Q4 that we expect follows the commencement of six new multi-year contracts from the beginning of April to the end of 2019. In summary, we continue to see encouraging trends in the jackup market with rising utilization and day rates in 2019, and our backlog and cash flow visibility have increased in recent months. Our debt maturity profile and strong liquidity position create flexibility and support for the growth projects that we're completing in 2019. The third quarter represents an inflection point for the business. As illustrated in the financial guidance published this morning, we expect a significant improvement in revenue and operating results beginning in Q4 2019 and believe that the recent contract awards and investments in our fleet will drive a material increase in cash flow in 2020. With that, we'd like to open the call for questions.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, press the hash key. Once again, for questions, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Erwan Kerouredan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello, Erwan Kerouredan from RBC, Royal Bank of Canada. I've got one question, please. Part of last quarter's presentation was around capitalizing on opportunities in the downturn with illustrative acquisition economics, which doesn't necessarily come across that much in today's presentation. So can you confirm the priority level remains the same, and what's the current view on opportunistic acquisitions? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Erwan. So we continue to look at opportunities, but I would say that at this point in time, we see the priority is to very much look at our current fleet and drive positive cash flow in 2020 and beyond. Sometimes an opportunity comes that's too good to turn down, but as I said, we look at that as it happens, but it's very much our focus to drive towards positive cash flows, and we see a clear path to that in the calendar year 2020.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Lucas Dahl. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. David, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit, about the day rate momentum. It seems that finally there are some increases in day rates, maybe not to the levels that we might have been expecting a year ago or so. But what is your view on the trajectory going forward, given that, we are only 15% down from the peak rig count in 2014, and the question really is how much further up can we go on the rig count, and how is that going to drive the day rates?
Yeah, well, in the short presentation that we provided on page 6, we have an illustration of the how we've seen the day rates move region by region. In aggregate, we've seen day rates move by 40%, which is pretty much in line with what we expected. I'd say it's actually, to some extent, topped our expectation. In India, we've seen day rates move by as much as 60%. In West Africa, it's been a little bit slower, but it's coming off a much higher basis, so we saw 25%. But the day rate movement we've seen so far is pretty much in line with what we would have expected. We continue to see a lot of high level of tendering activity, so I'm anticipating that the day rates will continue to move between now and year end and into 2020. Day rates are, range bound, somewhere a little bit less than 100 to 70 in most regions for premium jackups. And we imagine that by 2020, we'll see day rates beyond $100,000 a day. As the market tightens, I think there's plenty of room for day rates to move. We're not anywhere close to operators' pain threshold when it comes to rig operating rates.
Yeah, Lucas, this is great. The only point I would add is that we do believe there's room to run on the rig count. I mean, the rig count globally has accelerated pretty meaningfully in the last year. I mean, we're up in pretty much every major basin, but we don't think that's necessarily going to stop or go the other way. I mean, David mentioned tendering activity that we see short to medium term. We think there'll continue to be rig additions in the Middle East over the next 6 months. We think there'll be additional tenders with ONGC. So we think the rig count should continue to move higher, which obviously helps grind utilization higher. I'd say the benchmark day rate for premium jackups across the areas where we work was probably around 80, 6 to 9 months ago. There have been a number of fixtures at kind of closer to the 90 level or a little bit higher in some cases of late. So that's another decent leg up. We think that trajectory should continue. So I think that the rate and margin environment is clearly better today than it's been in some time.
Mm-hmm. And just to continue to add a bit more to that, the The full cycle economics in the shallow water is really it's very compelling. It's if you look at the Arabian Gulf, the full cost of lifting the barrel is very, very low, and it's similarly low in places like Nigeria. It's you know, most of the regions you see with shallow water are short cycle economics and very low break even costs. So it's we're just seeing a lot of activity where production increases in shallow water is making up for production declines on shore. Net, you're not really having a big increase. So it's an activity that we see will have a lot of legs.
Okay, that's good color. And how do you sort of see this dynamics that you just described impacting the pipeline, the tendering pipeline? Do you see that, I don't know, there might be more long-term jobs coming into the tender pipeline? Do you maybe see that the lead time for the work that you are discussing is increasing? Are those signs visible, or obviously you sit the closest to that? Can you sort of put some color on that?
Yeah, look, I mean, most of the opportunities in the Middle East are 3 to 5 years, and we're even talking about opportunities that go beyond 5 years. So definitely operators are looking to lock in more and more term. And we're also seeing this phenomena, which we haven't seen for quite some time, where operators are looking at forward start dates. And we've seen operators more and more looking at forward start dates that are 12 months and sometimes 18 months out in time. And that's really a sign that people are looking to lock in rig capacity because they're fearful that when the time comes, the day rates may be a lot higher, or there might just not be enough rigs available. So, you know, all indications are in the positive vein in terms of how we see the market from 2020 and beyond.
Okay, so with all the boxes sort of ticked for being at or close to the inflection point, how are you thinking about fixing your rigs going forward? Is it maybe time to become a little bit more greedy and start, you know, playing the market a bit more?
Well, I think we've got a pretty sizable fleet. So when you've got a large fleet, you can play the portfolio games. I think it's fine to fix at current rates where we see good margins, and we've got a healthy blend between old and newer rigs. So, you know, for us, it's very important to have the right relationship with your customer, and so you have to play that game carefully.
The only point I would add is I think, you know, there's a reason the journey's not contracted yet. I mean, the two new builds that we acquired from China Merchants, we acquired at the same time. We're more or less preparing them in parallel, and we've been trying to hold out for a rate and margin on that rig that we're very happy with. There was one opportunity for a single rig that we lost on price because we were trying to push for a number we thought was we'd be pretty happy with. So I think we definitely could have put that rig to work by now. It's not that we're short contract opportunities for the rig, but that's essentially the last high-end rig that we have available short to medium term, and that's one we are trying to, you know, help to kind of move pricing a little bit. So as David mentioned, it depends on the asset and the location and country, but we don't have a huge amount of capacity left. We only have 3 idle rigs at the moment. We do have some rigs that are on, you know, shorter term contracts in certain markets, but it does feel like there is a little bit of an ability to push pricing in certain circumstances.
Yeah, and it's probably a right point to mention the 2 bareboat charter rigs. So we have the 2 bareboat charter rigs. And because there's an underlying bareboat charter cost, there is also a significant cost to take them out of the shipyard and put them into operation. We don't see that the current day rate environment supports that with a good economic return. So we imagine we would need something well north of 100K a day to support the 2 bareboat charter rigs. So we do see that we've got plenty of, we've got plenty of upside as the day rate continues to migrate. And And Greg is absolutely right. I mean, the journey, we've been in no rush to anchor a contract, and it's the only premium jackup we've currently got available. So we want to get it under the right contract.
Okay, well, thank you for the good color, and well done on the backlog additions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Cameron Schultz. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the time. Cam Schultz from PPM here. Can you talk a little bit about your approach to utilizing the revolver, any minimum cash balance that you guys would be comfortable with, any covenants that we might need to be aware of, and all of that given the recent repurchase authorization? Thank you.
I'll let Greg answer that one.
Yeah, sure. So in terms of minimum cash, I'd say 20 to 30 million is probably the right figure to use. We obviously need cash, in each location to fund day-to-day operations. That's sort of the minimum level we'd get down to before we, essentially need external capital. You know, the revolver, it's a $225 million facility that we upsized last year. You know, we've communicated that we consider using some of that for the right growth opportunities that's kind of short to medium term funding in nature. And so the deal we did with China Merchants earlier this year, we felt fit in that box. You know, we financed the purchase price with equity, but we're funding the deployment costs out of cash flow and liquidity in the business. When you just sort of wash through what we're doing in 2019, it's somewhere between kind of 50 to 75 million of likely need on the facility to fund putting all those rigs to work, and that's something we're obviously comfortable with. We think it leaves a very healthy level of liquidity in the business. In terms of covenants, we do have a quarterly maintenance covenant under the revolver that's tested at 5 times through the end of 2020. We've said in the past there are some differences in the way that's calculated versus our reported EBITDA numbers. The biggest point is that for the rigs that we've acquired in recent months, once we have a contract, we have forward EBITDA credit until those rigs are reflected in our trailing numbers. So the Scepter and the Achiever are good examples. You know, two recent premium jackup acquisitions. Those rigs are contracted as of September 30th. They haven't started yet. So we get to essentially bridge our EBITDA for covenant purposes until we have a full 12 months of operation. So we're obviously comfortable with the covenant level now. We think that will continue through next year. So no, no concerns in the financial covenants we have in the facility.
All right, thank you very much. That's it for me.
We have no further questions coming from the phone lines, but just a reminder, everyone, if you have any question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced.
Okay, operator, if there are no further questions, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank everybody for joining our call, and we look forward to talking to you at the Q4 earnings call. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.